Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, America, and all fellow real estate investors. Welcome to the Real Estate Investors Mastermind, the Real Estate Investors Mastermind radio show for Tuesday, November 5th. And I am your host, Peter Gardini, here to continue my discussion with you about ensuring your success as a beginning real estate investor. I've gone over it almost every episode, every podcast, why I'm doing this. It gets reinforced every single day that I'm up on Bigger Pockets looking around, seeing what people are discussing, the questions that they're having, particularly in the getting started form. You know, these are individuals who see the benefit, see the opportunities with real estate investing, and they really want to get started and do it right. They want to be successful. And I'm hoping that this series of podcasts will help them in some small way to be able to get directed and guided and give them something to grab onto so that they know that they will succeed. By all means, this is not inclusive or conclusive. This is just based on my experiences and, quite frankly, what I am going through. All 14 or 15 steps with all the subdivisions are a set of best practices that have been put together by myself and my clients for beginning investors. When they come and join our group, we want them to be able to hit the ground running. And this essentially becomes a roadmap. Best practices are a great thing. You know, every industry has a set of best practices. Some of them are very, very complicated, very thorough. I guess if you're building a rocket ship, there are probably a set of best practices that includes an algorithm too. In the case of real estate investing, best practices include an algorithm or two also, particularly if you want to figure out how much you can pay for a house or what your net positive cash flow is going to be or your net operating income or debt service coverage ratio. Those are all things you need to know, and there are a set of best practices that go along with those. But the best practices I'm talking about tonight and have been for, I don't know how many, it's probably the ninth episode now, is, you know, getting started and being successful as a beginning real estate investor. Now, I've spent a lot of time on a whole bunch of different things, including networking, figuring out exactly what you want to do, getting clarity, you know, getting vendors to be on your team. So tonight, it may sound like I'm doing this a little backwards, and maybe I am, but tonight we're going to talk about companies, businesses. How do you, what business should you start and what business should you operate under? Now, big, big, big disclaimer. I am not a lawyer. I don't practice one on TV. The things that I am suggesting that you do are based upon what I've been told to do by lawyers, based upon my experiences of what I know works and what I've seen works. But at no point in time is this direct legal advice to any of you. All right, now that we got that out of our way. So when you start a business, you should start a business. And what I mean by that is don't be laissez-faire about it. Don't be a business one moment and something else the next. Start a business. The best way to start with that discipline is establish a legal business entity in your state. Now, what I mean by a legal entity is you yourself are a legal entity. You have a Social Security number that defines you as a separate legal entity. You should be operating your real estate business as a separate from you legal entity. And to take it to its fullest conclusion, you want to get an EIN, I believe that's an employer identification number, and you get that from the IRS. You fill out a form, I think it is. You can do that all online. Once you've got your articles of incorporation from the state that you reside in, then you can go get your EIN, and you're in business from both the state's perspective and from the federal's perspective. Now, one of the big benefits, of course, of operating as a business is you get to deduct expenses and you get to claim revenue. I'm not going to get into all the rules and regulations. You should have an accountant who is helping you out with that because there are some rules and regulations regarding expenses that you can claim, particularly as you're starting up, and, of course, sources of revenue. Not that it matters where they come from as long as it's all legal and moral, but that you have it, preferably for more than a couple sources. All right, so you should start a business. You should run your investments. You should run your real estate investment activities as a business. The other big benefit, aside from expenses and revenue and, you know, you might have potential losses that you can claim. Again, go talk to a CPA. But the other big benefit is it does offer liability protection. So if you're running your business like a business and you get sued for whatever reason, they've got to come through the business first. If the business has no assets and they can't figure out how to touch you personally, then they can sue the business. If it's an LLC, you can shut it down and form a new one, and you're still in business. Now, I'm not advocating that as a routine approach because that just means you're not doing business very well. Keep finding yourself getting sued. Quite frankly, you're probably cutting way, way, way too many corners, and people are not appreciating it. So you want to run your business as a business. This means you should have business cards. You should have a phone number tied to that. Ideally, you will have an email tied to that business. So if the name of your business is 123 Anywhere Investments, LLC, Limited Liability Company, then you should have an email address that says John Doe, 123 Anywhere, LLC.com type of thing, all right? It shows a more professional level of operating. You don't want to put everything in your own name. Now, I'm going to talk about a subject that'll probably get confusing. Hopefully, I'll be smart enough to explain it, so it won't be. So we'll get into this in just a second. But by operating your business as a business, you put up your first step as asset protection. Okay? There are a lot of other things you can do, but running everything through a business, getting your personal name out of it, I believe is critical. Okay, so here's what you're going to be confronted with, particularly if you're buying and holding properties. Maybe not so much if you're doing retail flips where you're, the lending that are being put in place is short term. First, without a doubt, you are always personally going to be guaranteeing any note that you have to conduct your purchases and your refinances on your properties. You just can't get away from it. Banks want collateral, and in their view, the more collateral they can get, the happier they are. And as long as they say you have to sign your name on the dotted line, then you're going to sign your name on the dotted line to get the financing that you need. Oh, by the way, they're willing to lend to your corporation, I'm sorry, your business, whether it's an LLC or a corporation, but they want you to guarantee it. The challenge becomes when a lot of lenders, let me rephrase that, comes when you go to work with lenders who are conventional lenders and all their underwriting is done through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, primarily. In that environment, they not only want you to guarantee it personally, just like everybody else, but they're going to require that the property be titled in your name. So as soon as you conduct and you finish a loan like that, the whole world knows that you have that loan on that property. You couldn't be putting a bigger target on your back than putting a bigger target on your back, actually. So if you can, you want to be doing businesses with lenders that are okay with you doing the deed in the business and you guaranteeing the loan personally. You want to get in the practice of putting these loans in your business. couple things happen that way. One, the banks you're going to do this in are portfolio lenders. And two, you don't have to be burdened necessarily by the full weight measure of Fannie and Freddie when you're being underwritten for a loan. I'm just going to mention two things about that aspect of Fannie and Freddie. I believe the maximum number of loans you can have in that world for real estate is 10. Used to be 4. Some lenders still stay at 4. A lot of them will go to 10. So if your goals are to do 30 properties in the next 5 years, you're going to be stopped at 10. And, oh, by the way, one of those is your personal residence. So they don't exclude that one. The other is it shows up on your credit report as soon as the loan is closed. All right, so that's not a fun thing. All of a sudden, you've got 10 properties, every one of them, on your credit report. It's going to cause the lenders to do two things. One, say, why isn't this person doing this stuff more smartly by putting them into portfolio lending banks and not having these loans show up on their credit report? And two, well, since they've got it on here, I think I'm going to look at their debt-to-income ratio a little more closely and see if they really can afford this. And, oh, by the way, you're going to take a 25% hit on your income right off the top because the banks are going to evaluate it that way. So if you haven't taken 25% out for a vacancy reserve or a maintenance reserve or for a management fee, your property might be upside down from a cash flow perspective after that 25% comes out, and now you've got nowhere to go. You're not going to fund it through that bank and probably most other lending institutions. So the benefits of forming a business and operating your business as a business are multifold, and the more important part of this is the psychology that you need, in my opinion, my very humble opinion, but it's proven myself and it's proven well for all of my clients, which are many, that they like the asset protection and they like the ability to be able to operate like a business, promote themselves to the outside world, particularly lenders, so that they don't get messed up or burdened down by Freddie and Fannie, and it gives them a more professional outlook. Now, what does the outside world look at you as being in business? Well, they think, oh, he's smart enough. This person has got it. She went out and created the business. She's operating. If she has a business, they probably have some goals. They probably got a clear agenda. They probably understand some things in the market, yada, yada, yada. It just gives you another level of professionalism. Plus, when you're out doing all this networking I'm recommending, wouldn't it be nice to be handing out business cards? I'm going to talk about that next week. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to hand out business cards and at least show them that you've got a business that you're operating under? It really does make a difference. Really, really. So plenty benefits for you to be operating as a business, to go out and create a company, whether it's a corporation, S-Corp, C-Corp, LLC, you get to choose any one of the tax options, taxation options, I should say. But again, that's way above my pay grade. I take the advice of others. You don't have to pay them very often to do this because once you've got it down, you're just creating a cookie-cutter environment unless you're doing something very different from your routine. But I believe you have to have a business. So go out and start one. All right, so in closing, what do I want to say? I'm going to talk about, what am I going to talk about next week? It's going to be the 13th, I believe. I'm going to be talking about business cards, emails, phone numbers, et cetera. And then after that, I'm going to start getting into the nitty-gritty of the numbers. But before that time, if you're listening to this and you're in the Baltimore area, we've got a new meetup starting up. Going to be next week, next Wednesday. I think that's the 14th. It is going to be at Basta Pasta up in the Timonium area. It starts at 11:30, and we are going to go probably till around 1 or 1:30. You're invited. If you would like to attend, just show up, and I hope to see you there. If not, I'll talk to you next Tuesday. I believe that's the 13th. It's P Peter Gardini. I'm out of here.